Song tonight. I appreciate that. Very good. We're in Proverbs chapter 3. Amen. Now, I know about 2 minutes into this lesson, I feel like it's not going good, I'll just start over again. Amen. And you just hope it doesn't get 20 minutes into it and start over again. Ushers have a handout tonight. So come on, fellas, if you will, pass that out. And we are not going to go back and review, because we were in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, the last time we were in the book of Proverbs. A couple, 3 weeks ago now, we're going to pick up with living wisely principle number 9 in the same chapter, but down at verses 9 and 10. And if we get through 3 of these lessons tonight, we'll call it a success. And if we don't, that's okay. All right? So keep your hands up if you need the handout. Hopefully you brought a pen or piece of paper or a pencil and you have the paper there. And we're doing these living wisely principles out of the book of Proverbs. Now, I did something like this, probably 12 years ago in Sunday school when I was in the balcony with a Sunday school class. But I'm not relying on that old material. This is all new material. I'm using some of the old lessons, but new material, and even doing new lessons. So if this is not just hashed over stuff. All right. Can we get one to these people whose hands are up? Right over there. Esther Johnson needs one, and that will help there. Thank you, fellas. I appreciate it. Everybody covered tonight? Okay. The last one to get one's Ray Nemeth. The white male is always the last to be taken care of in this day and age. Amen. That's the older white male. Amen. That's what it is. All right. Did I pray? I don't think so. Let's pray. Father, would you please bless the lesson tonight? Speak to our hearts. Thank you so much for your love for us. And Lord, thank you for the song that challenged us to let Christ be seen in our life. And that only is accomplished through our yielding to your Spirit. So Lord, that was a message in song tonight for our hearts. Thank you for it. Help me now in these lessons from the book of Proverbs, your book of wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Living wisely, principle number 9, verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. The wise honor God by managing their substance faithfully. The wise honor God by managing their substance faithfully. Now, this is one of the many places in the Bible where God makes a promise concerning the proper handling of substance. And I'm glad for everybody that's here tonight, but I'm especially glad for the young people and the young couples, because I think every young person, every young couple starting out on their own financial footing needs to learn the wisdom of these verses. And the wisdom of these verses is found in those words, honor the Lord with thy substance. We're not talking here just about the tithe. People, you cannot tithe and then violate other financial principles and violate the faithful management of your substance and expect God to bless you just because you tithe. Now, God blesses tithing, but God's looking at the whole ball of wax. He wants to see that we are managing our substance faithfully. Because look at the first thing that's said here. Honor the Lord with thy substance. Now, let me tell you why this is important, okay? And why every young person and every young couple needs to be right on. When you start out developing your financial foundation, all right? Look with me. Hold your finger here. Put a ribbon or paper. Let's go to Luke chapter 16. So we're going to go to New Testament Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 16. When you mention Luke 16, people who are familiar with their Bibles immediately think of the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Rich man died, went to hell. Lazarus died, was carried to Abraham's bosom. But at the beginning of chapter 16, there is a great lesson taught on the matter of stewardship. Stewardship. Now, you know what stewardship is. Stewardship is the management of possessions that belong to somebody else. Okay? And that's exactly what you and I need to do, folks. We need to understand, first of all, that everything we have belongs to God. We are the stewards, we are not the owner, and God has entrusted us to be good stewards of the substance that belongs to Him that He's put in our possession for a little while. Now look at Luke chapter 16, look at verse number 10 with me, okay? He that is faithful in, watch the order of the words here, okay? He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. Least comes first and then much, right? The order of the words, okay? And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If, therefore, verse 11, ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon. Unrighteous mammon is money. Unrighteous mammon is the possessions that we have. It's our vehicles, our substance, if you will, okay? If you've not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Now, when you combine verse 10 with 11, the least is the unrighteous mammon. The much is the true riches. But folks, the test for us to enjoy true riches is how we handle substance. That's considered the least. And God said, if you'll be faithful in that which is the least, you'll be faithful in that which is the much. He says in verse number 12, and if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Our things belong to God. Our substance is all the Lord's. And if you don't believe that, check out what God did with Job's substance in chapter 1 of the book of Job. He put everything Job had into Satan's power. So it obviously didn't belong to Job. Now, you couldn't come in and put some of the things that belong to me, you couldn't give them away to somebody else, but you know that God can do that? Because they ultimately belong to Him. God can make that happen. This is why it's important for young people, especially young, I'm talking about young people getting started and out on their own financial footing. You need to learn the wisdom of Proverbs 3 and other passages in the Bible where it deals with the faithful management of substance, because God calls substance that which is the least. And if you're ever going to enjoy the true riches, you've got to first show yourself faithful in that which is the least. That's what he's saying in Luke 16. If you don't know how to take care of that which belongs to another man, how's God going to give you that which would belong to you? Now let's go back to Proverbs chapter 3 and look at verse 11 and 12 again, alright? So this is a place where God talks about honoring the Lord with thy substance, and the way to increase is not to give ourselves to the multiplication of riches. I talked about that on Sunday night. Okay? That's not the way to increase. We don't give ourselves to the multiplication of riches, but to manage our substance in a way that honors God. And by the way, I think it honors God when you and I do well investing what He has given us. I'm not talking about the fact that a person cannot improve his or her position financially. Take it back to Sunday night. The Bible makes a difference in improving yourself financially and giving yourself to greatly multiplying. We saw that in the Word of God Sunday night. Greatly multiplying. There's a big difference in that, okay? So we increase. We don't give ourselves to the multiplication of riches, but we manage our substance in a way that honors God, and God blesses us for doing that, and He increases and blesses, okay? Now, one of the ways we honor Him is by returning to Him the tithe of our increase. And here in verse number 9 of chapter 3, the tithe is called the first fruits. The first fruits. Now, there are those, you've heard me say this from the pulpit many times, there are those that teach tithing. And by the way, folks, this lesson tonight, the wise honor God by managing their substance faithfully, it's not so the church can get more money. It's so that we can have God's blessing on our substance. That's the reason. Okay, now, but there are those who teach that tithing was only for the nation of Israel, and in this day, God's people give differently. Well, I agree with that to a point. We give differently in that our giving is mostly in currency, as opposed to things like crops or land or animals. By the way, back in the book of Deuteronomy, I believe it is, might be Numbers, but I think it's Deuteronomy, if the Israelites lived a long way from the storehouse, provision was made for them to convert the tithe of their crops and the tithe of their animals, and if they were giving land, provision was made for them to convert that into currency. So they wouldn't have to take animals and crops a long, long distance to the storehouse. They could convert it to currency. Now, the majority of our giving is done through currency. Every once in a while, you hear people, it hasn't happened here, but you hear people that give land to a church. You hear people that give maybe jewelry to a church, or they give some other type of substance. But the majority of our giving is done through currency. We follow the same principle of tithing that they did in the Old Testament, and God blesses us, and we reap the benefits of His promises. And by the way, we tithe according to the same principle when it comes to where we give the tithe. The Israelites brought their tithes to the storehouse. The storehouse was a place in the temple complex where the tithes of the grain were stored, and that is what the Levites used to make their living. Now today, God's people have a church where the tithe is to be given. And so it's no different in principle. It might be different in the fact that most of our giving, 99% of it, is done in currency. But it's still to be done at the storehouse, which is the local church. And it's still to be done by God's people when they have a financial increase. And so it's pretty much the same. Now, it's not so much the technicality of giving the tithe that is the emphasis here. Rather, we need to see the twofold outcome of managing our substance properly. All right? Now, you should have filled in already numbers 1, 2, and 3 there. And so I don't want to give you, I think number 4 is coming next, okay? Now, this is important for everybody, but especially for those starting out financially. First of all, number 4 on your sheet there, giving the tithe brings honor to the Lord. That's what it says in verse number 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and then, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So you honor God by managing your substance faithfully, and that includes giving your tithe to the storehouse. So giving the tithe brings honor to the Lord. It's no accident that the first definitive thing mentioned about honoring God with our substance is the giving of the tithe. That's no accident, folks, because returning the tithe to God recognizes that all we have received comes from His kind hand. Every bit of it. You know, we acknowledge His gracious giving to us by giving to Him what is His. And when we give to Him what is His, it is recognizing that the only reason we have something to give to Him is that He first gave to us. That's one of the blessings of that's one of the reasons God gets honor from tithing. It's an acknowledgement of, Lord, what I am putting in the plate today is only a small portion of what You have given me. If You hadn't given me this, I would have nothing to give to You. So it's an acknowledgement of the fact that God first gives to us. And when we give like that, it brings Him honor. When we put our tithe in the offering plate, the men count the money, they reach in and they take the money from the envelope, and the money goes for the business of the church. But friend, that's not the only thing that comes out of that envelope. The men take the currency, the men take the check, the men take whatever came in and take it out of the envelope for the church. God reaches in that envelope and He takes the honor for Himself. And I don't know about you, but that makes me thrilled to be able to give. When I realize that God gets honor from that. God gets the honor to Himself. So giving the tithe brings honor to the Lord. And by the way, let me just say it. I don't think I have to say this on Wednesday nights. But you cannot designate a tithe and it be a tithe. If you designate an offering, that needs to be above tithe. The tithe went to the storehouse. And I just wonder, our missions fund offering, it just, I don't know, maybe somebody's just gotten a burden for missions giving because I don't check who's doing what. But missions giving has gone up, and we're a little bit behind in our general fund, and I guess I have to ask myself, has somebody just quit giving the tithe to the church and dumped it all in missions thinking that they're tithing? That's not tithing. That's given to missions. Tithe is given to the storehouse. Given to missions, given to building fund, given to help somebody, and we'll talk about that later on in this lesson, giving to help somebody specifically, that's done above the tithe. You can't designate the tithe and it be a tithe. Just can't do it. The Israelite tribe of Asher, and the tribe of Dan, the tribe of Gad, those guys didn't come in with their tithes and say, be sure that priest so-and-so gets this. Or be sure that this goes to this part of the priesthood. They brought their tithes to the storehouse, and the priest took from it, and that's what tithing is. Tithing is given to the general fund of the church so that the church can operate. That's where the tithe belongs. And anybody that tells you differently than that is not biblical. And there's a lot of stuff on the internet, folks, that's not biblical. A lot of men who are not local church who promote the giving of money to just whoever you want to give it to, but they want to be in on that. But you can't believe that. The tithe belongs to the storehouse. The storehouse is the local church. So that 10%, I mean, you want to be technical, write your check for 10% of your gross income and give it to the church general fund. That's a tithe. Above that, missions, above that, building fund, whatever you want to do. But to take the tithe and dump it in the building fund or dump it in the missions or to give it to some designated person, and I'm tithing, is not biblical tithing. Not biblical tithing. And you got that from somebody who's probably not local church. John R. Rice believed that the people could send him the tithe. Now, John Rice was a great man. I can't tie his shoelaces, but he was wrong on that. And old Bill Dowell from Baptist Bible Tribune, Baptist Bible College down there in Missouri, he called him on it. It was one of the greatest things I ever enjoyed as a new Bible college student. Who was I telling this week? Oh, I was telling this pastor. I met a pastor who's been in Racine, Wisconsin for 41 years. And he said, I came out of Baptist Bible College. And I said, well, you came out when it was, he said, yeah, it was a great school. I said, I know it was, great school. And I said, man, when I went to Hiles Anderson, we had to subscribe to the Sword of the Lord and the Baptist Bible Tribune. Two periodicals. One by John Rice, one by Noel Smith, out at BBC in Springfield. And John Rice would come out in the Sword of the Lord and say, you can send your tithe wherever you want to. And old Bill Dowell would come out the next week and say, you're robbing God if you send it anywhere but the local church. And then John Rice would come back and say, you can send it anywhere you want to. I was getting to the mailbox every week, see which one was talking this week, what was going on. It was exciting. Bang, bang. They were punching each other back and forth. And I love John Rice. I love his teaching on the Holy Spirit. I love his teaching on holiness. But he was off the mark on the matter of storehouse tithing. It goes to the local church. Tithe goes to the church. Okay, so giving the tithe brings honor to the Lord. Number two, number six on your sheet there. I said number five, returning the tithe to the Lord recognizes that all we have received comes from Him. Number six on your sheet, giving the tithe brings blessings to us. So it brings honor to the Lord, and it brings blessings to us. Now look at number 10 there, verse 10. So shall thy barn be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. You say, you know, I don't know, I've tithed, and God meets my need, but it's really not plenty. Folks, plenty is a very relative term. And in comparison to probably the majority of the rest of the world, everybody in this room has plenty. That's the truth. Everybody in America pretty much has plenty. It's a relative term. All right? I don't think that means that you're going to get rich. What did the Bible say in 1 Timothy 6? I mentioned the other night, if you have food and raiment, therewith be content. You got a roof over your head, vehicle to drive, some clothes to wear, some food to eat. Man, your bills are paid. There may not be a whole lot extra, but hey, thank God, God's taking care of you. That's what we're talking about here. Looking back over time, people, tithing has worked for God's people through the ages. The principle of giving the first tenth of the increase to God has been tested and proven so many times, it would not make sense to look for some different way to give. Just take the history of Christians through the ages who have given faithfully the tithe and see how God has blessed them. See how God has blessed them. Now, let me just say this tonight, because once, you know, in a church like this, you get situations, and I've dealt with them before, individually, personally, tried to help people, so I'm just going to try to say this from the pulpit. I think I did this once before. Because you can get yourself in such a way with your finances that you look at your bills that are due, you look at your income, you look at your bills that are due, and your bills that are due absolutely soak up every piece of income, every bit of income that you have, with maybe just a few dollars left over to buy some food or some gasoline. So how do you tithe on that? How do you get started? I've sat down with people, you know, I'm just throwing round figures now. This is not the figures, but just round figures. So the income is $500 a week, and the outgo that week is $492. How do you tithe on that? What do you tell people? Because that's what they come to me for. What do I do? Well, first of all, I thank them for having a heart that's interested in honoring God. Because some folks may not even care. So here's what I said to somebody, a couple people. I said, okay, your income is $500 a week. You got $492 going out. That leaves you $8. You know what I would do? I would put $1 in the plate when it passed on Sunday. And I would say, God, that's all. That's a tithe plus 20 cents on the $8 that I have left after I pay my bills this week. God, this is not your fault. This is negligence on my part. This is disobedience on my part. Years worth of it in some cases. But I really want to honor you with my substance. And here I am showing you my heart. I'm giving 10% plus 20 cents of what I have left with the hopes, dear God, that next week I'll be able to put $2 in the plate. You say, well, that's not tithing. Well, then you figure it out for them. If you can help them better than that, help them. I don't know what else to tell them. You say, well, they ought to just have faith. Of, you know, well, they owe, folks, they owe the creditors. That's a legitimate bill. So I just started with that. And you know what? Some people have worked their way out of the financial hole by doing that simple little thing and gotten to the place where eventually God blessed their... See, here's the thing, folks. We don't serve a God who's a hard taskmaster. We serve a God, if you didn't see that Sunday morning, we serve a God who is full of mercy and kindness and compassion and has kindness and favors us in ways that we do not deserve it. And I just cannot for the life of me, scripturally, see God being displeased with the heart that says, God, I have failed you in this matter, but I am starting today to see this thing turned around, and here is my 80-cent tithe and my 20-cent offering, which is pathetic in light of what I should give. Would you please bless this and help me get to the place where I can give you a true tithe of my income? I don't see God saying, "Rah! Strike them!" I see God blessing them. And I believe that's happened in a couple of situations. But folks, can I say this? You don't want to get in that situation. Just start being faithful to honor God with all thy substance, everything. Again, you can't give the tithe and then go out and break other financial principles and look at God and say, "Hey, I tithed. I gave you the 10%. Yeah, what'd you do with the 90%? Were you unfaithful with it? What'd you spend it on? Have you gotten yourself in a situation where you've gotten yourself into unmanageable debt? That's not faithful management of substance. It's the whole ball of wax. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with thy first and with the first fruits of all thine increase. The whole nine yards. So give the tithe, manage the other 90% properly, and watch God bless you, because that's what the book teaches. That's what the book says. That if we'll do right with our substance, manage it faithfully, God will bless us. God will bless us. So I wanted to encourage you in that area tonight. Living wisely, principle number 9. The wise honor God by managing their substance faithfully. All right, number 10. Let's look at living wisely, principle number 10. Verse 11 and 12, right following those two. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Isn't that interesting that those two verses follow 9 and 10? Because I believe when we don't manage our substance faithfully, God will get busy trying to correct us. But let's take a separate lesson from this. The wise learn not to despise chastisement. The wise learn not to despise chastisement. Now, friend, the chastening of the Lord in the life of a saved person is an assurance of God's love. Do you know that? The chastening itself may not be lovely, but the act of chastisement is proof positive that a person is a child of God, because the Lord corrects every son whom he receiveth, the book of Hebrews tells us. Every son. It is wise to take chastisement seriously and use it to fix whatever has gone wrong in our lives. And if we're going to be wise about the matter of chastisement, it only makes sense that we would first be wise about the matter of correction. Because both of these are mentioned in verse 11. Despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. The deterrent to chastisement is correction. So God corrects us in order to turn us so that He doesn't have to chastise us. And I think that's, again, just due to the mercy of God. I mean, legitimately, He could reach out of the heavens and whack us. But He doesn't do that. He sends correction into our lives for the purpose of getting us turned so that hopefully He won't have to spank us. And correction comes by a couple different ways. Okay, the Bible tells us not to be weary of correction. And if we heed it, we will experience less chastisement. Now, how do we experience the Lord's correction? Well, on number 9 here, correction comes through, first of all, the Word of God. Correction comes through the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. So part of this book right here, all Scripture given by God, and much of this Scripture is good for correction. Whether it's in reading it or hearing it preached or hearing it taught, the Bible is used to correct us. Now let me ask you a question. When is the last time anything was said in a sermon or a Sunday school lesson or any kind of Wednesday night lesson that corrected something in your life? Can you think back? Or where you read something in your own devotional time and you thought, you know what? I'm going to fix this. Because to turn a deaf ear to the correction is what it ultimately leads to the chastisement. The correction is the deterrent. Any of you parents jump with anxious joy for the excitement of spanking your children? Nobody does that. Nobody wakes up and says, oh boy, I get to spank my kid today. The truth of the matter is, we try to correct the child two or three times before we have to take the rod. The deterrent to chastisement is correction. And the Bible corrects us. So when God speaks to our heart through our Bible reading or through a lesson, through a preaching sermon or a Sunday school lesson, and goes, wow, you ought to correct that. That's something to be serious about, folks, because that could be the deterrent to chastisement. And I'm going to tell you something. Chastisement can be tough. It can be ugly. So God corrects us through the Word of God. Number two, He corrects us through the ways of men. Now, I don't have this Scripture on your sheet there, but I want you to listen to this verse in Habakkuk. Chapter 1, verse 12, where Habakkuk the prophet said, Almighty God, Thou hast established them for correction. You take your Bible, you go back, you read the context of Hebrew 1:12, Habakkuk 1:12. The prophet is referring to the time when wicked men were allowed to come against God's people. Habakkuk said, Thou hast established them for correction. God brought wicked people against the nation of Israel, not for the purpose of destroying Israel, but for the purpose of correcting Israel. That's what He's talking about. You've established them for correction. And people, when the ways of men seem to be against us, it is not for our destruction, it's for our correction. The ways of men are not a sword to cut us to pieces. The ways of men are for a rod to drive out the sin in our lives and get us right so God won't have to chastise us. The most perfect kind of judgment is self-judgment. And if we'll judge ourselves, we won't have to be judged by God. He won't have to spank us. We need to learn to take correction. And by the way, folks, you know, you take this issue with Target. It goes back to what I preached Sunday morning. Don't forget those verses in Daniel chapter 9 where He said, listen, to us belongeth confusion of face. Daniel said, we have to shoulder this. The ways of men, God had allowed the ways of men to punish the children of Israel. Babylon took them into captivity. The ways of men were used to correct Israel, to try to get them corrected. And that's what Habakkuk is saying here. Thou hast established them. You've established men for correction. And brother, I'm going to tell you something. Daniel shouldered it. And he said, God, to us belongeth confusion of face. And if you were here on Sunday morning, you remember all the references in his prayer to forgive us for our iniquity, our rebellion, our iniquity. We have transgressed against you. We've departed from your laws. We've departed from your commandments. Yeah, Daniel got it. Correction comes from the ways of men. Now look, when correction from the Word of God or the ways of men is not received, then God resorts to chastisement or punishment. Look, the guy at the job may be treating you poorly because he doesn't like Christ. And he just hates God. And he hates Christianity. The guy at the job may be treating you poorly because God's allowing him to do so to correct something in your life. And you got to figure it out. And the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God guides us into all truth. So if I got a boss that's treating me poorly, is he just an ogre? Is he just an anti-God Bible hater? Or is God put him in my life and allowed him to be like he is for the purpose of trying to get me corrected? Because God has established them, the ways of men, for correction. Folks, do you think, you know, remember when David committed a sin with Bathsheba and he brought Uriah home? And he tried to get Uriah to go down and spend the night with his wife to cover up his sin. Remember when Uriah didn't go? You think that should have said something to David? And the second night, when he got him drunk, isn't that interesting? When he got him drunk and Uriah still didn't go down to spend the night, the evening with his wife, and he made that great statement. He said, Israel and my Lord Joab and my brethren and Israel and Joab and the Ark of the Covenant are all at war. Should I go down and enjoy the pleasures of marriage while my brethren are fighting? Don't you think that should have said something to David? Don't you think Uriah had been put right where he was, and God was trying to use Uriah to correct David? But David didn't get corrected. You know what he ended up doing? He ended up killing Uriah. And then God spanked him. And he spanked him hard. And he paid fourfold in the lives of his family. So we don't want to turn a deaf ear to correction. You know, number 10, the wise learn not to despise chastisement, and the deterrent to chastisement is correction. So I hope you get all those blanks filled there. Well, number 10, when the ways of men seem to be against us, it is not for our destruction, for our correction. The ways of men are not for a sword to cut us to pieces, but for a rod to drive out sin. That's living wisely principle number 10. All right, now, number 11, we're done with chapter 3 and moving on next time we're together next Wednesday night. Number 11 is down in verses 27 and 28. This is a great chapter. It's just so full of all these principles. Verse 27 and 28. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by... I'm sorry, verse number 27 and 28. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due. I meant 27. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not to thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give when thou hast it by thee. Number 11, the wise learn to notice and serve the needs of others. The wise learn to notice and serve the needs of others. I think this fits in with the faithful management of our substance. I really don't believe that we just do everything we're supposed to do about our substance just by giving the tithe to the church, and then we can wash our hands and be done and spend all the rest of it on ourselves. I believe God expects us to learn to notice and serve the needs of others. Now, there is a great word in this verse. I love the word. It's in there on purpose in verse 27. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. There are times when it will not be in our power to service the needs of others. And God does not put unreasonable expectations upon us, but He does expect us in situations that warrant our unselfishness, people, to be ready to assist our neighbor. And you understand the word neighbor is not specific to the person living next door to me or you. It is a friend, an associate, a companion, a brother, or someone who happens to cross our path. Wisdom causes us to be careful not to live in an isolated cocoon when it comes to the needs of others. Every once in a while, I hear stories here at the church about people who will just walk up to somebody and maybe hand them a bill. Maybe it's a $10 bill. Maybe it's a $20 bill. Maybe it's $40. I love stories like that. I love things like that. I love it when God's people look for an occasion to be sensitive to the needs of others. I really don't think that we're managing our substance properly if all we're doing is bringing our tithe to the church and saying, okay, there it is, I gave it to the church, now I can do what I want to with the rest of it. I don't think I need to live in a cocoon. Now, two or three things about this. First, we need to be sensitive to the needs of others. Number 13 on your page there. There are two number 13s. That shouldn't be right. That's a typo for sure on my part. There are times when it will not be in our power to service the needs of others. Then the next, the 13, number two, we need to be sensitive to the needs of others. Folks, it's very easy to go through this life without noticing the needs of others. Very, very, very easy. So we need to be sensitive to that. Secondly, we must not love money or material goods so much that we cannot part with either of them. We must not love money or material goods so much that we cannot part with either of them. You know who has the hardest time parting with it? It's not the person that has the least. It's the person who has a lot. I can't explain that. It's just like I can't explain to you all the verses from Sunday night, why God warns us over and over and over again, if you set your heart on riches, you be careful because you're going to turn away from God. What is it about riches and money that turns our heart from God? I'm not sure I can explain all that. But I know this. I know this from personal experience. When my wife and I were assistants, when I was out there in Iowa in the early days, and we would have those kind of weeks where the income would come in, I would pay the bills, I would write the tithe check, pay the bills, give Joyce a handful of dollars for groceries, and have two $1 bills to put in my pocket for the next 7 days. I'm not complaining. In fact, those were some of the most unbelievable days of our lives because God provided over and over and over again. But when I only had $2 in my pocket, it wasn't hard for me to give one away. Now, I've been 36 years, and you folks have taken very good care of me, and I have more than $2 at the end of my week. It's $5 now. Amen. I praise the Lord. I'm just teasing. And I caught myself a couple years ago. I caught myself finding it more difficult to give it away, even though I had more than I used to. Isn't that weird? The more you get, the more you want to keep. Money's weird, isn't it? It's just weird. I don't know. I don't have any. So, you know, it's just weird. His power's weird. So now I'm trying to be careful. I try to be sensitive. You know, I was up in Rochester last week, and Brianna and Jesse were up there, and I'm not trying to tell you this to pat myself on the back, but I took some money, got some bills, and I gave them to Joyce, and I said it was an equal amount for all three girls. And I said, those girls are all newly married. Their husbands are all just starting out. I said, give them just a little bit of, take this to those three girls. I have to do that, folks, because if I don't, money gets a grip on you. It gets a grip on you. I'm not saying give it all away. I'm not saying give it all away. Well, you don't want us to have any money. I didn't say that. But you've got to learn to be sensitive to the needs of others. Sensitive to the needs of others. And we must not love money or material goods so much that we cannot part with either of them. Go give it to them. You know. No. We've got to be careful about it. Third, we must value it's third on my sheet, but it's number 15. I don't know what number it is on your sheet there. It's number 15. We must value our neighbor's need as more crucial than our own. You know, even though we may have a small amount of disposable income, it more than likely could be used for something to meet our needs. But to live wisely, we have to value the needs of others properly. Now look, I like what the verse says. When it is in the power of thine hand to do it. You may not be in a situation right now where you can just freely give to help other people. If you owe the electric bill, and that's all the money you have is to pay that electric bill, it wouldn't be right for you to tell the electric bill to wait and give your money to somebody else. That's not right. But when you've got a little extra, when God has favored you, and you hear about a brother, a neighbor, who's going through a difficult time and has a need, man, Count that important. Living wisely, you learn to notice and serve the needs of others. God didn't put it all in our hands for us to keep. He put some of it in our hands to be a blessing to somebody else. To be a blessing to somebody else. So those are three principles of wisdom from the book of Proverbs. Right there in chapter 3, it's full of them, along with the other one, number 8, that we learned out of 5 and 6 in the same chapter. Let's stand together. Thank you for listening tonight. Heavenly Father, would you please take the lessons? That was a lot in a short amount of time, but I pray that you'll take it, drive it home to our hearts, and Lord, help us, please. Help us to honor you with the faithful management of our substance. God, help us, please, to not despise chastisement, and help us to pay attention to correction. And then, Lord, help us to be wise about being a blessing to others when it's in the power of our hand to do it. Those are three simple but powerful lessons on wisdom we need to incorporate. It'll change our lives if we do. Thank you for it in Christ's name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies, give us just a verse here and we'll be ready to continue.